99? Would you believe here comes Private?
Max, I find that hard to believe.
Then would you believe here comes the Sergeant?
I find that harder to believe.
Would you believe here comes the Colonel?
You know, it's really hard to see the humor in that. Well, they're shooting a new Get Smart series down the hall, and they had to stop in here and disrupt a serious science program. Welcome back. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. We're going to get back to our interview with Francina Hallis in just a minute. And then Harry Crotone is going to stop in and tell us about his new educational tool. And but right now, let's step over here to our Fountain of Useless Information.
Welcome to the Fountain of Useless Information. How can I help you?
Yes, oh yes, 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 I see we have aroused the spirit of the fountain by throwing in the coins. All right, oh spirit of the fountain, are you ready for today's query, huh? Along the lines of who's buried in Grant's tomb? Well, today's query, old spirit of the fountain, put on your thinking cap. What color is a purple finch? A purple finch, oh spirit of the fountain, what is the color of a purple finch?
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell the others.
Oh, the spirit of the fountain knows all, hears all, sees all, and even tells all for a few coins. All right, you know, don't you? The color of the purple finch is distinctively red. In fact, is crimson red. All right, a little bit of the Science News studio band, and we'll get back to our interview with Francina. Well, Francina, you make so much sense, and it's quite refreshing because you're right. The media seems to have a bias towards guns, and I guess I use the media in a very pejorative sense here, because you turn on any network television program or anything else, and it seems like the guns are treated as something that are evil. It's like those who would detest snakes and would get rid of snakes. Actually, snakes do a great deal of good in the world, and so to automatically defile something that has that has a use and some good. And they're just automatically against these things, and yet there is no sane person that they will talk to or interview. So I hope you get a lot of notice and get a chance to talk about the responsible use and the place for guns in our society.
I certainly hope so, because I do believe there's just a re-education. Actually, I think there should be more use of guns in a controlled, more education around it, even where it becomes not a fear, a threat. It's an educational piece, and the kids will get it. The families, oh, this is just a part of life. A gun, oh, yeah, there it is. So then it becomes a mental shift. And a repetitive information, and the media needs to understand they're the professors. The world is the classroom. We're the students. And so they're at the podium teaching. And so we need to understand what we're listening to and who's teaching us. And it's a very powerful tool of teaching. And now we have the internet. So we have a lot of venues and areas of distribution to get out a message. But once the collective consciousness comes together, the message would begin to be reflected in our news. And I look forward to that day. I think we can get there. But we do need to understand what guns are and how valuable they are, just like anything else. Where there's evil, there's a good thing to extrapolate from it. We just have to think. We have to just think. We're not thinking.
So what you're saying is that our knee-jerk reaction to these things, we've got it all wrong. And that if we had it right, we'd be thinking about things and understanding where the next danger is going to come from, instead of just a knee-jerk reaction and running with our hands up and our eyes wide and not paying attention to the things around us. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. 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 And we have to just think. We have to stop, Colonel. We can't put a Band-Aid on this. And that's the hardest part for all of us to do in society, is look in the mirror. The easiest thing to do is look outside of ourselves. But we literally, actually, the world needs a quiet day, just a daggum quiet day, just to sit down and shut up and listen, and just be quiet, and just think, and feel what's going on in the world. And the more we do that and get back to ourselves and reconnect with ourselves, we'd be surprised what we'll discover. And that is the secret to the security problem. That is national security. When we wake up on the inside and stand up on the inside, then the world outside just straightens up automatically. But we've got to do better.
Well, Francina, tell us a little bit about your organization. You're the CEO of Total Protection Services International, and I understand you help people lots of different places. And I'm told that you're certified. I'm not sure exactly who certified you, but would you tell us about that certification and some of the things that you're doing and how you're helping corporations and nuclear energy and government services and that sort of thing? How do you operate?
Well, we 11 years. We basically, assess needs and supply the needs on the nuclear facilities. We've done that for 11 years, and we become a conduit between the staff and the regulators so that we ensure that our turnover rates are low, and when we place our staff, they're there for a minute and have careers instead of jobs. We've learned a lot. Our clients are pleased, and we've been able to stay on the radar screen for 11 years, pretty quietly working and learning and growing. And now in our 11th year, we have come to a point where we want to reach out and bring this knowledge out into the community to improve our workforce, our communities, and economic development through education, training, and jobs. That's what we do every day. And for moments like this, when there is infiltrators that's come into our space, whether it's in North Carolina, Texas, or Boston, we feel honored and privileged to be able to communicate in a way that furthers our mission of national security in a holistic way. So we're happy to employ people in our communities, get them back to work in a profession that is longstanding. We're here for life, and to redefine and re-educate appropriately in those areas.
Well, Francina, how can people find Total Protection Services International? You've got a website, I guess. If they're going to contact you, give us that information.
My website is www.total-protections.com.
Oh, there's an S then. Total-protections.com. Is that right?
Correct.
All right. Very interesting. Now, what have we missed? What is a strong point that I have forgot to ask you about that we want to be sure and leave the listener with to encapsulate this?
Yeah, my last point was, everybody today, if right now, if you're listening to anyone out there, to stop, get quiet, wherever you are, and gather yourself, reconnect with yourself, and hone that sixth sense around your space for protection and security of your loved ones and your assets. It's up to you.
All right. Look into the future for us a little bit, if you wouldn't mind. Put on the meditation cap here and kind of lean back a little bit and close your eyes and look 5 years, 10 years down the road. Where do you see us going as a society? What do you see the future for the United States or even the world? I mean, give us a prediction of 5 years, 10 years, even 20 years, if you have a vision of that.
Oh, absolutely, I do. If we do this thing right now, because now is the time, we're in a cycle of a new world creation right now, and it's happening across the globe. The world is recreating itself in every facet of life. And if we do this right this time, and we involve our children and our families, we will experience prosperity again, happiness, joy, peace, love. Of course, there's evil in the world, but they will be quarantined to a place where they would just defunct themselves, and they'll become a toy at that point. But you have to have that adverse in the world. But we will be prosperous again. I see our local communities across the globe being a prosperous, wealthy in their own rights, families being re-educated, babies being born, nice clothes, no poverty. There's no poverty if you do it by choice, and poverty is defined as poverty is, but that poverty has to be redefined, and wealth has to be redefined, and our communities will be thriving, and the societies will be wholesome again, and economic development will be new. There's a new wealth being created, and it won't take as long, and it will come in very smart and half the time as the previous wealth has been created. So there's a whole new creation been developed, and we're evolving into that worldwide. And there's going to be happy times again. I see it. It's going to happen. Our government is going to be smaller, and they will be more of a resource to our communities. If you can imagine the sun and the rays that come out from the sun would be the government. It will be a smaller sun, and the rays will be support to the local communities. And the communities won't have a need to feel like they have to go and recruit German and foreign-owned companies to come here and make their communities thrive, which we're on a busy path to do. It will be that we have our own communities that are thriving in business, and if they choose to invite others in, they will. It will be for recreation, not for earning their living. And so I see happy times again. I could go on and on about it, and we're on the right path. But we've got to do it right, and we've got to understand our neighbors. We've got to appreciate cultures, and we've got to just have a shift in our thinking and become more secure, and we'll be happy again. It's going to be beautiful. We just got to get through it.
Oh, I love it. You've got such a vision for the future. Some people I ask that question for, they're really kind of lost, and they want to predict that the Boston Bruins are going to win some sort of an upcoming game or something. But you really get into it and have something quite profound. You're a philosopher, and I'm impressed with your name. I've never seen your name before. Now people hear me speak it, Francina, and they've got a vision of how it's probably spelled, but they're wrong. It's spelled P H R A N T C E E or C E N A, and isn't that correct?
Two E's. That's correct.
Yeah, I put a third E in there. I didn't mean to do that. Anyway, tell me, your mother named you Francina? How did you get that name?
Well, you know how our parents are. You know, back in my days, you know, you didn't talk about the birds and the bees and all that kind of stuff. But from what I was able to gather from my grandmother and mother is that the lady that delivered me was French. And my mother's name is Frances. And they named me Francina, which is spelled F-R-A-N-C-I-N-A from mm-hmm. French.
Yeah, right.
And then Tate, T-A-T-E. So Francina means freedom and liberation, mm-hmm. whether you spell it with a P-H or whether you get it from the F. And the letters is just different to balance the name a little better.
Oh, how fun. I love it. If I could see your mother, I'd tell her how much I appreciate her giving you that sensational name. That's the kind of fun names we look for here in broadcasting. I'm just delighted. I had a wonderful time with you. I was anticipating that someone with such a fascinating name would probably be able to give us some really, really good stuff, and you have done that. The time with you has been very, very, very wonderful. And I hope that you'll come back and visit with us again sometime and kind of keep in touch. Will you do that for us?
I sure will, Colonel. Thank you so much for the opportunity and the great work you're doing and the openness and allow me to share in the way that I did. Thank you.
All right, Francina Harris, CEO of Total Protection Services International out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. Great day.
And now let's talk to our famous Nobel laureate, Harry Kroto. Now, the last time we spoke, you were telling me about this Internet learning tool that you were putting into place. What's that, STEM? Was that what it was called?
Yeah, that's we've got a major meeting on Monday about this. It's getting very exciting because what we're doing is linking with universities all over the world to create educational material. So the educational material that is created at Florida or in Sheffield or in Japan or in Croatia or in Brazil or in Spain, because we've developing Spanish sort of speaking educational material is located at each of these institutions, and we have a gateway site which is searchable, so that if someone searching on a particular subject will come into the gateway site, and it will divert it to the node where the material is held. In this way, we distribute the effort of getting the material together. It's a case of people all over the world who are interested in it. Creating educational material can do so in their own way and flexibly, not restricting them. And then we divert people to whichever node is particularly appropriate. It's called GEOSET, GEOSET, which is Global Educational Outreach for Science, Engineering, and Technology. And we're adding a plus in that, so we'll put other stuff, not just science, engineering, technology, but also math, and even art and other issues are coming in as well. So it's getting a very exciting phase, and we just negotiated a contract with the university, or the Politecnico in Valencia, who are creating some free software so that participating institutions will be able to download the software, which will enable them to record their material and make it available globally. This is sort of major triplet, which is Florida State and Sheffield University, where Sheffield has set up a Croto Research Institute in Sheffield, and also in Valencia. But we also have nodes in other countries as well now, like Japan and Brazil and Spain.
Well, Harry, this is for all ages. I mean, how do you? I mean, the very young to the to old timers like me. We're all can access this.
This is completely flexible. The idea here is not to be restricted, because the point is there are as many ways to teach as there are teachers, and there are as many ways to learn as there are kids learning and students. And the most important lesson that educators need to learn is that there's not just one way to teach. This is not understood. You know, we've been trying to teach our children for thousands of years, and every year we see we don't know how to do it, okay? The one reason is that a teacher may have 30 kids in the class. They're all different. A teacher will find it almost impossible to keep, you know, more than 10-20% of the class enthusiastic. One kid likes music, another one likes football, another one likes math, another one likes history, another one likes language, and you know, the kids are all different. You know your own kids, right? They're quite different, even though they've been brought up in almost identical environment. Now, once educators understand that, I think, and appreciate just how difficult a teacher's lot actually is, to keep all the kids in the class enthusiastic about the things that they're not necessarily likely to be interested in, then we'll start to make some progress in teaching. And obviously, a good teacher, there are good teachers, there are lots of good teachers, but it's extremely difficult to keep a whole class enthusiastic about, say, calculus and algebra, because many of them have not got the background. And it's a little bit like language. You know, language, if you don't speak English, it's very difficult to understand a lesson in English. If you don't speak Spanish, it's very difficult to understand a teacher who's speaking Spanish. And the same is true of mathematics. If you really are not into the language of mathematics, then it's quite difficult. If you're not into the language, you know, it's sort of a metaphor, the language of history, it's very difficult to get enthusiastic about it. And I think what we're trying to do is, instead of focusing on a particular student, I'm focusing on this teacher and saying, what would you want to teach? What do you want to record? What do you would like to contribute to this global cache of knowledge? and the teachers that we got, I want to contribute this, I want to contribute this, I want to do geology, I want to do not the whole of geology, but just specific parts of it. So we've actually turned the whole concept of the dynamics of teaching totally round completely, and instead of focusing on students, we're focusing on the teacher and saying, what is it that you would like to put on this global sort of storage site? And they will be the things that they particularly want to teach. Those, they'll have their brilliant ideas of which they've had experience of transmitting the enthusiasm for particular items, not necessarily the whole subject, but specific items that they really like to present. And that's what we're doing.
Well, can anybody access this at any time?
It's absolutely free. My original website, Vega, V-E-G-A, the Vega Science Trust, which will become an archive in the next few months, costs about roughly $2 to $3 million, and that is totally free for people to go. They can go into Google and put Vega, V-E-G-A, and if they put science, it'll come up first. Vega Science, and they can see 50 Nobel Prize winners on there. They can see Richard Feynman, the greatest physics communicator of all time, on there. They can see sort of careers programs. On GeoSat, you can see not only teaching projects, but something really special, something that I didn't expect, something I didn't know. We discovered that some of the best teachers are our students. We're recording students making presentations on their projects, and they're brilliant, almost all of them. It's quite incredible, because they are enthusiastic about the project and they make it. It turns out that they are younger than old fogies like me, and they can empathize with young people. But the great bonus is that because they're now on the web, these students can use that recording as part of their resume when they want a job or a scholarship or a position. So we've now not only created material, but we've revolutionized the resume. Instead of a pile of paper, or just a pile of paper, we have a recording. So someone who's interested, who has a position available, and they get an application, they get the letter of application, and they click on the URL, and there they can see a presentation by the student or the postdoc or the researcher making the presentation, and they can see them right away. They don't have to come for interview.
So the students, okay, Nobel laureate Harry Kroto, as always, so good to have you with us. Remember, for his educational website, just Google G-E-O-S-E-T. That's G-E-O-S-E-T. And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
Do one thing every day that scares you. I think that it's important to get out of your comfort zone and try new things. And if somebody comes up to you and says something that they want you to do and it's a little scary, take that challenge on. My name is Andrea Marsh, and I am the lead business developer at Battelle for its Department of Homeland Security efforts.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you.